Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to see all of you. It's so good to be back. And it was a lot of traveling. We woke up in Ohio yesterday morning, and here we are today. And it's been a long drive. And, you know, going 2 days before Thanksgiving, driving through Indianapolis is quite terrifying. But praise the Lord, we made it. I'm thankful for His protection. So we are going to open with a prayer here tonight before we do anything, and we are going to worship God in just a moment, but first we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy mercy, for Thy grace, which has brought us here. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy leading hand, for Thy guiding touch. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here this night. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to draw nigh to Thee, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For we know that Thou art seeking such to worship Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would preside over this entire service. I pray that Thou would lead this entire service. Let everything we do here tonight be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter His gates. Number 115. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is so wonderful to be here and to enter these courts with thanksgiving. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way, number 25.
Let
You know, when you truly let go and let God have His way, that's when He will make a way in your life. He can do the impossible. In fact, nothing is impossible with God. So let's turn to number 31 and sing, "I Know the Lord Will Make a Way." Number 31. What God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. day in the United States that we call Thanksgiving, and I know that it's fine to get together once a year and be thankful for what we've got, but really we should be thankful every day for what God has done for us, for the price that Jesus paid for us. And the thing that we have to be most thankful for tonight is that he saved our souls. So we're going to go to number 42, and we're going to sing, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Number 42. So much to be thankful for, and another thing that I am so thankful for is that Jesus took those stripes for us so that we can be healed of every sickness, of every infirmity. We're going to open our hymnals now, and we're going to turn to number 181 and sing "The Healer," number 181.
On the cross, crucified.
that's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we are going to take up the collection. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy blessings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy love and Thy care towards us. It is an amazing thought to know that Thou carest for Thy people, for we are so far below Thee and so undeserving of all that Thou hast given us. Help us, O God, to always be thankful for what Thou hast done, to always be mindful of Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would help us to do Thy will in these days ahead. I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless these givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Well, we do have a few things to pray about here tonight. And actually, Jane handed me this prayer request just a few moments ago. And it says, prayer requested for Pauline that God will heal her lower back and comfort her, and that He will equip her adequately for her household needs from this month through to January. And we will lift her up in prayer. I know firsthand how difficult it can be to have pain in your back. And God does heal. I know when I had that injury not long ago, it was some of the worst pain I ever felt. But you know what? It's completely gone now. My back is 100% better. So God does help His people, and He is our healer. We will pray about that. And then also we need to continue to pray for Carol. I haven't had an update within the last couple of days yet and as to how she's doing, but I know she did have that fall, and she did break that bone, and I know that she has diminished kidney capacity as well. So we need to pray that God will touch Carol and heal her. And we should also pray for Leah, too. When we were down south, she threw her knee out when we were playing wiffle ball. And it's been quite swollen and quite painful for her to walk. So we're going to pray about all these things here tonight. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer on this night for Pauline, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down and touch her with Thy healing hand. For we know, O God, that Thou art our healer. We know, O God, that by Thy stripes we are healed. We know that nothing is impossible with Thee, and that Thou can do all things well. So we bring Pauline before You, praying, O God, that Thou would touch her back and heal it completely. We pray, O God, that Thou would give her great strength and vigor. We pray, O God, that she would be filled with Thy Spirit and encouraged by Thy Holy Ghost. Help her, we pray, lead her and direct her in all things we ask, and touch her again, we pray, with Thy healing touch. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also come before Thee in prayer on behalf of Carol, praying, O God, that Thou would help her body to mend and heal completely. We pray that that broken bone would be healed completely, that there would be no lasting effects from it, but that it would be completely restored to full function. We pray for her kidneys. We pray, O God, that Thou would restore completely and full function. Heal her, we pray. Touch her, we pray. We pray, O God, that she would be restored and better than ever, stronger than ever, O God. Fill her with Thy Spirit. Fill her with Thy touch. We pray, O God, that Thou would touch her and heal her right now. Let her feel Thy presence even as we pray for her right now. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Leah, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch her knee. For we know, O God, that Thou can do all things well, that Thou art our healer, and that even this knee problem is not too hard for Thee. So we ask, O God, that Thou would touch her, heal her completely, let her be restored to full and complete function, we ask. Let Thy healing virtues flow for all of these requests here tonight, for we know, O God, that Thou truly art our healer. We put our faith, our hope, our trust in Thee, for Thou art our deliverer, and without Thee we have no hope, but in Thee we have a great hope. And I pray, O God, that Thou would hear our petitions here this night, and I pray, O God, that Thou would answer these requests And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn it over to Shirley for the night. And you know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And another thing I'm thankful for is that our God does not change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So we're going to go to number 290 in our hymnal and sing Yesterday, Today, Forever, number 290.
Thank you.
Well, we have another prayer request, and you know, I guess this would be the night for it. We're singing about God and His healing touch and His answers to prayer and all that He can do, and that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And you know, I really do love this song because there's so much in here. There's so many stories in this song. It's almost like a sermon in itself. Praise God. But we do have another prayer request, and this is from Neil. Neil wants prayer for their third attempt to get Canadian immigration to accept his permanent residence application. So we are going to pray for Neil as well. And of course, we have fond memories from when he was here a while back. I'm not sure if that was 2 years ago now, when he was here with his wife. And I know that they listen online frequently, and we're so glad to know them. And we're going to pray for Neil right now that this Canadian immigration thing will work out. It's been a long process, and I know that he would very much like for that to be over with and settled. So we're going to pray for Neil right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer on behalf of our brother Neil, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and work on his behalf. Work behind the scenes. Work on the hearts of all these officials responsible for this immigration. We pray, O God, that thou would open a door, that thou would give him that permanent residence that he seeks. We pray, O God, that thou would work out all the details. For we know, O God, that thou can do this. We know, O God, that thou can speak to souls. We know that thou can talk to hearts. We know that thou can change things and open doors, for there is no way. We pray, O God, that thou would make a way for Neil. We pray, O God, that he would get his permanent residency there in Canada. We just pray, O God, that thou would help him, guide him, strengthen him. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. We praise this. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's just believe for good things. Praise God. God does hear our prayers. He does answer our prayers. Hallelujah. Well, it looks like Shirley needs just a moment, and then we're going to turn this over to her. But praise God. I am so thankful for His goodness, and I am thankful to be home, too. It felt so strange to be away from church, you know, for so long. It seems like forever almost, and I only missed a Sunday service and a Wednesday service, but it seems like so long ago, and I have to get used to being back up here and singing. I think I hadn't sang this much in quite some time. But praise God, He got us through some interesting travel experiences there. You know, 2 days before Thanksgiving, driving through Indianapolis, they get so much traffic, and that's not a good time to be driving through there. Thankfully, I had Leah beside me, and she was helping me, you know, to navigate through all the lanes and take the right exits and so forth. It was good to have that help. So praise God, and we are glad to be home. But it's a little interesting too, you know. We had just set our clocks back for daylight saving time. Then we went there, and the clocks were set ahead, and now they're back again. So we have to get used to it all over again. But praise God, He does strengthen His people. Glory to God. And well, it looks like Shirley's ready, so we're going to turn it over to her. See what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight and worship the Lord. And I know we have so much to be thankful for. And Samuel didn't know this, but I had talked to him before I got a hold of Carol last night. It took me a while. It wasn't real easy to get a hold of her, but I did find out that she is in the rehab center at Waukesha, the Waukesha Hospital. And probably is going to be there for 2 weeks or so. She did say that she was really thankful that she has multiple breaks, I understand. But she said they're all in a line so that she didn't need to have surgery. And she was so thankful for that. And, you know, just believing the Lord's going to heal it just right. So, you know, Praise the Lord. Do keep her in prayer. I know she was due for a transfusion to a, it seems like her hemoglobin count was quite low, and there were a lot of things going on. So anyway, if you could keep her in prayer, I know this is quite a trial in a lot of ways for her, but just believe in the Lord and you know, whatever we could do to encourage her, because our God is a healer. And you know, he uses these circumstances to bring us up another notch, to give us greater faith, you know, to make us stronger, because, you know, I know good and well, if we never went through any hard things, we wouldn't get any stronger. You know, it's this war with the flesh, you know, and the trials of this world, and, you know, the battling that we do, that actually gets us to higher ground. And, you know, thank the Lord, it's not easy, you know, none of us enjoy these kind of things. But thanks be to God, you know, he knows what we need as individuals. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows our frailties, and oh, everything else, you know, he sees beyond what we can see, and he knows how to make things come to pass that certainly are needed in our lives. And what a wonderful thing. He's a healer. You know, he's a savior. He's a deliverer. And wow, if we could just put our faith in the Lord and really believe him. I know there are great things for the people of God. Amen. Reserved for the people of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here as we begin. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before thee, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for your word. And, oh, Lord, the counsel that it gives us and the words of life, oh, Lord, that we can read, Lord. We know that we could do nothing without you, Jesus. Oh, God, we know that we need you continuously, day by day and hour by hour, Lord. And, oh, God, that you'd keep our hearts in tune with thee. You'd keep our hearts right with you, Jesus. Oh, God, that you'd strengthen us in the inner man and help us, Lord, to see beyond the things of this world. Oh, God, that we might be spiritually equipped, oh, Lord, to know thee, to go forward, to do your will, Lord. I just pray that you work in every heart tonight. Oh, God, that you'd answer the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, those that we've prayed for, and those, oh, yes, that have not been mentioned. God, you know the needs of your people, Lord, and I pray that you'd work. Oh, God, and I pray also that you give us grateful, thankful hearts, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And, oh, God, all the wonderful things that you've done. Most of all, our salvation, Lord, and these words of life, oh, God, that you've given us. We thank you for it. We praise you, Jesus. We ask that you'd have your way here tonight. Oh, God, that you work in us, Lord, that the strong man would rebound. Oh, God, every work of opposition, Lord. Oh, God, any work of unbelief, God, anything that would be contrary, give us faith, Lord, to believe you, God. Oh, God, give us faith to take hold of eternal life. Oh, God, and to go forward and to grasp thy promises, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we ask and we praise thee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so good. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." Praise the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought maybe you'd give me a Thanksgiving message specifically, but boy, I'll tell you. I think he kind of made it known that this is where he wanted me to go tonight. So, praise the Lord. Let's open up in our Bibles to Psalms 51. Praise the Lord. I think I went here last week, and now we're going to read the other part of the scripture that I think I didn't read last week. But praise God. Let's go there. Psalms 51. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We commonly do start with verse 10. And I guess we could do that. It says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know, this is talking about having a clean heart. And the wonderful thing is when all is right internally with our spirit, then God can work on other people because His glory will show through us. The light of the gospel will show through us when our hearts are right with God and our heart is clean and we've got that right spirit within us. Oh, praise the Lord. Then we can teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Then verse 14 says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's a wonderful song of the redeemed. You know, when He saves us from our sins, we've got a song that we can sing, that we can share, that we can tell, because, oh, that freedom to be rid of sin is a wonderful thing, to be rid of that blood guiltiness and all of that. And therefore, we can sing aloud of His righteousness. Then it says, verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And praise the Lord. You know, Brother Samuel said we don't, you know, want to just praise God tomorrow. And I pray that we do, that we just not get so involved in having a feast that we forget to praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. But we want to praise Him every day. You know, we want those praises to well up in our hearts and that gratefulness because He has done so much for us, more than anybody else could ever do. And He has set us free and He's redeemed us and He's set our feet on high places so that we can walk with Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it says in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else will I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And then it explains in verse 17. And I want to bear down on this verse here tonight. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you know what a contrite heart is? A contrite heart is one that has great remorse and sorrow for sin, the things in one's life that we repent of, all those things that we did that were wrong. That's what a contrite spirit is. And here it's talking about the sacrifices that matter here. It's a broken spirit, and it is a spirit that falls on the rock, Christ Jesus. It says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, we know that the Pharisees had such an attitude about themselves. And, you know, Jesus said, except that your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, thou wilt in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, we will not get in if that's our mentality. If we think that we're good by our old works, oh, yes, our own righteousness, it will never get us into heaven. But praise the Lord has a way of breaking down that pride. Oh, breaking down that spirit of man that is so carnal. God knows how to break us. And just for a moment, I'm going back to Psalms 51 to finish that. But here in Matthew 21, I want to just catch a couple things here. In Matthew 21, Jesus said, after He told a very telltelling parable, and they could see through it, He said in verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know, Jesus came unto His own. He came unto His own people, the lost house of Israel. But largely they rejected Him. The stone which the builders rejected, Jesus was the stone, the foundation. But they rejected that stone. They rejected that foundation. But still, in spite of it. It says the saint has become the head of the corner. Jesus became the head cornerstone. And praise the Lord, the church of the living God is built upon the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, in the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. And so it is the Lord's doing. In spite of rejection, in spite of willful man, sinful man, unbelievers, God is still the chief cornerstone. Jesus has become the head of the corner, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, our God can do anything. He can overcome anything. And he has a people that he has reserved for himself that are a part of his body, the church of the living God. And he knows how to call us. He knows how to choose us. He knows how to take us home and help us to be faithful in the process. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus, as he was talking largely to the Pharisees and the publicans and all of those that thought they were righteous, particularly actually the Pharisees, he said in verse 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." And I praise the Lord, there is a people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that God has called forth. They were not, or we were not, the people of God at one point. But praise the Lord, we are now the people of God. Yes, he has called us. He has made a way for us to come in and to be recipients of full salvation. He has made a way for us to be his sons and daughters. But he is looking for a nation. He has called forth a nation that's going to bring forth good fruit. That's going to bring forth righteous fruit. That's going to dwell in Jesus Christ. That all has full faith in the Lord. Those are the people. That is the nation that Jesus is bringing forth, and they will show the fruits thereof. And then verse 44, it says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." And I believe this correlates very well with the verse there in Psalms 51, verse 17, where it talks about the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, because that rebellious spirit within us, that willful, unrepentant spirit within our hearts has to be broken before the Lord can call us. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us here in verse 44 in Matthew 21, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone," and the stone is Christ Jesus, "shall be broken." If we fall on that, he's going to break us apart as far as, you know, that old man is concerned. Our old, selfish, ignorant, mean ways. He's going to break that when we fall upon the rock Christ Jesus. But on the other hand, if you don't fall on the stone, Jesus Christ, it says, "But on whomsoever it shall fall, that stone, it will grind him to powder." And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what is going to happen. We're either going to come to the Lord Jesus and be his sheep, or otherwise, we're going to be rejected. Oh, and we're going to be cast out into outer darkness. We're going to be condemned to hell. It's either one way or the other. We're either going to be with him for all eternity in heaven, or we're going to be condemned. Oh, it is so important that we fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we don't want that rock to grind us to powder. Oh, to nothingness. Oh, yes. Oh, we don't want our works to be nothing. We want to be completely in the Lord. Oh, yes, that he might be seen through us, that his glory might shine through us, and we might have some fruit to give him when we stand before him. Praise the Lord. So back into Psalms 51, verse 17 again. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." Oh, a repentant heart that's turned their life over to the living God. "Oh God, thou wilt not despise." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there's that parable that Jesus told also in Luke, the 18th chapter there, where he told about, you know, two men that were in the temple. And one was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And that Pharisee, oh yes, was so filled with himself that, you know, he's just showing contempt for the publican, and, you know, saying how he was so above that other man. He wasn't an adulterer, he wasn't an extortioner, you know, he wasn't like that publican. He wasn't like that at all, he thought. And he was boasting of his good deeds, you know, that he tithed and he fasted and all of that. But did that mean anything at all? Or was that just a vain show of somebody who tried to make himself look good on the outside, but inside was like a whited sepulcher, with full of dead man's bones? I believe that's what he was. And instead it was that publican that couldn't even look up and, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he smote his breast and he couldn't even look up. And, you know, he didn't care about the Pharisee. Didn't really matter at all. But God looked on the heart of the one that was broken, on the heart that was contrite, the heart that was repentant. God had respect to the prayer of the publican. In that case, that is the kind of person that God looks to forgive and to restore and to save. Praise the Lord. And so as this chapter continues in verse 18 here in Psalms 51, it says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. And the people of God of the temple of a living God under this new covenant. Praise the Lord. And God is building the walls. He's putting it together, all the pieces, all together. And when it's complete, he's going to come for his people. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. See, in the time of the old covenant, even if they did attempt to offer sacrifices, and it was expected that they would offer sin sacrifices and, you know, offerings of thanksgiving and whatever, all there. Yet if their heart was wrong, what good were those sacrifices? If they had evil conniving in their hearts and they were just doing it for a show, what good were those sacrifices? I say no good at all. No, and the psalmist is telling us here, I believe this is a psalm of David, that, you know, it wasn't going to matter unless the heart was right, unless the heart had been broken and the heart was contrite. It wasn't going to matter what they offered on them, you know, on the altar, if their heart wasn't right with God. Oh, praise the Lord, he breaks us. You know, that old man, it's got to go. We've got to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And it's a lot of work. But praise the Lord knows how to do it. Oh, praise the Lord. And then we can offer those sacrifices of praise that it talks about in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, those wonderful sacrifices of praise continually to our God, which is the fruit of our lips giving praise unto our God. We can do that. Oh, we can offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. We can do that when the heart is right. Praise the Lord. But there is something that must be right first. Oh, yes, it's the heart. And the importance of obeying first. Oh, yes, to be right with God before we can offer true sacrifices to God. Oh, yes, our whole life, as it tells us there in Romans, that 12th chapter, needs to be that living sacrifice, life that's committed to the Lord and broken down and given over to the Lord so he can use us. See, he can't use us unless we've, you know, fallen on the rock, Christ Jesus, and repented thoroughly of all our sin. Well, I tell you, sometimes that's why people haven't received the Holy Ghost, because there's still issues that haven't been resolved in their life. There's things that are still causing some condemnation within. But thank the Lord, you know, when we truly turn it over and we have that broken and contrite spirit, oh yes, the Lord is so able to come into our very being and pour out of his Spirit upon us. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Praise the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 15. Praise the Lord. And here we are in this chapter. And Saul is king of Israel at this point, the very first king. They have asked for a king, the Israelite people, and God gave them over to their desire. And, you know, initially, Saul was a very humble person. And, you know, he even went and hid himself among the stuff when they were trying to get him, you know, and they were going to anoint him and all those kind of things, and he was going to become king. And, you know, at first it was, you know, he had a very humble spirit about him. But it seems like something began to happen in him after a short time. In the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, we already see that there's some problems. He's only been king a couple of years, and already there's some problems. You know, well, it's not a real easy time. The people are scattered, the Philistines are on them, and you know, the people are worried, and they're hiding themselves, and obviously they don't have a whole lot of confidence in Saul at that point. There's something going on here. And, you know, it's not so good. But there came this point where, you know, Saul was to wait for Samuel to come. They were going to offer sacrifices. And, you know, Samuel was a priest. And you know, it was his position to offer those sacrifices. But Saul jumped the gun. And he, because it seemed that Samuel wasn't coming immediately. They waited the 7 days, and Samuel wasn't yet there, so he took it into his own hands, and he offered sacrifices himself, which was a forbidden thing to do. It wasn't his place. He was not a priest. It was not appropriate for him to take that position and to do so. And I'll tell you what, he wasn't good either, because right after he finished, then Samuel came, and oh, I'll tell you what, and you know, he had to answer for it. He forced himself, he said, to offer those burnt sacrifices, those burnt offerings. He forced himself to do it. But Samuel said, "You've done foolishly, King Saul, you've done foolishly. You know, if you would have done right, that kingdom would have been established under God, upon Israel forever, but you've done foolishly, and therefore the Lord could take that kingdom away from you and give it to somebody else, somebody that's more worthy than you are." Paraphrasing here, he's going to seek for a man that's after God's own heart. And praise the Lord, it's just what happened. But it wasn't so good after that. And you know, we get to the 15th chapter, and here it is again. Here's Samuel, and he's come unto Saul. And there's going to be a test at this point. I believe that God is giving Saul a second opportunity to see what he's really made of, and if possibly, you know, he could show the right kind of heart, the meek and quiet heart, a contrite heart, a broken heart at this point. So here it tells us in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15, "Samuel also sent unto Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord.'" Like I said, I think from the reading of this, my impression is that this is a test for Saul. And it says in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt." And that was one of the battles that the Israelites fought when they were coming out of Egypt. They had to fight Amalek. And now there's an opportunity that God is giving Saul. It says in verse 3, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. The Amalekites had been pretty wicked people, and they had caused a lot of problems to the Israelite people, and now God was going to bring forth judgment. And this is what God said, and you know, it's so important to obey the voice of God. So many times people put the brakes on, it seems to be. Oh, I've heard people say, and this happened just recently, oh, I've been baptized already. I don't have to be baptized again. The Lord will certainly understand, even if, you know, they didn't say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was, they just used titles. I mean, people go there. They think, you know, they excuse themselves. And there's many other things that, you know, people excuse themselves from, which are commandments of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's not good. And God will try us. Sometimes, you know, he does give us space. I remember with that Christmas issue, I remember, first year we were married, and we were in Appleton and helping a ministry there in Appleton, Wisconsin, and pastor lived upstairs, and we lived in the apartment under him and next to the little church that was a storefront at one point. So the pastor, you know, got some films from the library. We didn't have television, and so, you know, sometimes we'd get some films from the library, and he came up with this one that was a Britannica film, and it was called Christmas Through the Ages. And, you know, wasn't really all that long, and it was, you know, a documentary just, you know, going through customs that concerned Christmas. And I'll tell you what, you know, we watched that thing, and all we could think of is, why are we observing this? Why are we doing these things? They're pagan, you know, one thing after the other. It was all pagan, and ironically, we had bought a Christmas tree, and I'll tell you what, oh boy, that was not too good at that moment, you know. So anyway, God was beginning to show us, and thank God we never did that again. But, you know, there was a lot we didn't know, you know. We didn't know anybody else who really didn't celebrate Christmas. And for a little while, we thought, well, okay, we won't do this, we won't do that. You know, that's all pagan. And we thought maybe we could exchange gifts. Yeah, we thought, well, we don't want to be Scrooges. So, maybe that would be acceptable. So I know for a little while we tried to, you know, just participate to a little bit of extent there and exchange presents. And I'll tell you what, God worked on us, because I'll tell you, every year that we tried to do that, and it was maybe for 3 years or something, you know, David would get sick. Every single time, just right at Christmas. It was really something. He'd get sick. All at once, his throat would, you know, be all hoarse, or he'd have a terrible sore throat, or whatever all. Finally, one year, well, we had a lot of people that were planning to come to this Christmas program that we're going to come, we're going to have right here at the church. We had a bus ministry back in those days, and all the parents were going to come, and all the children were going to be there, and, oh, yeah, some folks were working with a deaf and dumb class, and they were going to come, and, oh, we had all this going on, and, oh, we rehearsed, and I think I'd even written out the script, and, oh, boy. But anyway, we found out that day that Pastor was pretty sick. He was very, very sick. But he was like, how can we cancel it? There was really nobody else to fill his shoes at that moment. And you know, in spite of it, it seemed like we had to go through that program. But I thank God the Lord used that, because, oh my, we realized very clearly after that point that God did not want us participating in any of those Christmas practices. And I know we weren't very proud of this, I'll tell you for sure, but boy, that was God making himself very clear. And thank God We never participated after that point again. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times, you know, the scripture says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And a lot of times people let a little bit in. Oh, I think I could do that, you know. It couldn't be so bad, could it, for me to watch that movie or go to the theater or do this or do that. And, you know, they make allowances for various things. And you know, don't always consider that it's kind of compromising. It's maybe, you know, not to set any wicked thing before our eyes. And you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that, oh boy, could actually be detrimental to our spiritual person. And praise the Lord, we would be wise to take heed and to listen to the voice of God. Praise the Lord. But as I said here in 1 Samuel, I do believe that God was testing Saul. And so now he's been given this assignment, and it's very clear. It's very precise. You know, Samuel says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Very specific here. So it tells us, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And that's true. The Kenites were very, very, very favorable to Israel and very much a help to them when they were going through the wilderness. So Saul has asked them to please move themselves because, you know, he didn't want them to be part of the damage. So it tells us in verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So did he obey the command of God? Did he do what God had said? Did God say to spare Agag? I think not. God had told him to utterly destroy and to spare them not. And he made it so specific. He slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. But Saul didn't do that. He spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So he saved the things that were good and the king. Oh, I tell you what, you can't hide from God. And Samuel, as God's prophet, was clued in right away. It says in verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Oh, as I said, I believe this was a test. God, I believe, was giving Saul a second opportunity to make things right and to prove himself. But he did not obey the voice of God. He followed the whims of himself and the people, it seems to me. And oh my, God saw it. And God told Samuel, oh yes, it repenteth me. I regret, in other words, that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. Oh, we never want to turn back from following God. Oh, the only way to go is forward. Oh, I'll tell you what, if we jump off the track, will we ever get back on? I hate to say this, but I've seen a lot of people go that way and turn back from following God, and I don't think I have seen too many of them come back. It's a very serious issue here. But Saul, it says, he has turned back from following me, and he hath not performed my commandments. Oh, this was very heavy indeed. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Oh, yes, anguish of soul, despair. Oh, I know what it's like sometimes to have such a heavy thing come upon yourself, you know, to realize all of this. He tells us in verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, because he was going to have to confront him now, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the command of the Lord. Okay, this is Saul, and these are his words, and it's an outright lie. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And if he thought he had done so, he was only fooling himself. And Samuel said in verse 14, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Okay, so he's completely excusing himself here. He's telling it, the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and they're going to use them to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we completely, utterly destroyed. Well, I'll tell you, that wasn't good enough. And blaming somebody else for your own error isn't going to save you. Oh, I'll tell you what, we better not do that. And then it says in verse 16, Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And these are the words of Samuel in verse 17, And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you what. When we stand before God and have to give an account of our life, we better be clear. We better be clean. That moment, we better be clothed in His righteousness, in God's righteousness. Because otherwise, He's going to see right through us. And there's going to be no excuses allowed on that day. Oh, there is nothing that we can say. We can't cover it up with a lie or by blaming somebody else. And God had given Samuel the discernment to see through Saul. And it tells us in verse 20, And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So he is not taking the blame. He's the leader. He was in charge. And even if the people were so inclined, he should have told them, no, don't you dare. God forbid it. And here he's saying again that he obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he had gone the way which the Lord sent him. But there he had brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and had utterly destroyed the Amalekites. The people took of the spoil, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Verse 22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, I'll tell you what, God sees differently than man sees. Oh, he sees rebellion in the heart as the sin of witchcraft, it tells us. Oh, that stubborn spirit that comes up. Oh, yes, and people, God sees it as iniquity and idolatry. Oh, God does not tolerate those things. He doesn't, esteem those things as a good attribute by any means. And because those things, those attributes were in Saul's heart, God had rejected him. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, this was very serious. It is so important to heed the voice of the Lord. God meant it when he told us to repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We're not going to be able to stand before God with sin in our lives. Repentance is so essential. Oh, yes, to show true remorse, to have that contrite spirit. Oh, yes, true sorrow over our sin and the things that we have done that were in disobedience to the Lord. Oh, it's so important to have a clean heart and a right spirit. So necessary to repent. Oh, yes, the command is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. How can you get past the command? It's there in God's word, but yet how many people ignore it and say it doesn't matter? Oh, I tell you what, we best listen to the word of God. Oh, yes, we're going to require things of his people, that's for sure. Oh, yes, he's not going to have mercy on that day. You know, he told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, and God means that in every way. If we truly love him with all our heart, we're going to keep his commandments. Just turning quickly here to 1 John, the second chapter. Verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, and thank the Lord for that. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lord for that price that was paid so that we can come to Jesus Christ. Oh, the one who paid for our sins on the cross. And verse 3 says, and hereby We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then verse 4 here in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There is no way. If you have neglected the word of God, if you have not kept it, if you know you're willfully sinning against it, and yet you say that you know God, the scripture here says you are a liar. There is no way. The truth is not in you, if that's your story. And then verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Praise the Lord, if we keep his commandments. And then John went on to say that there was this new commandment that he was writing. And there it emphasizes in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So there he was, telling them, along with keeping the commandments of God, if you're a child of God, you're going to love God, and you're going to love your brother, your sister. You're going to love the family of God. There's not going to be hatred in you, because hatred is of the darkness. And we are walking in the light. Yes, God is in the light. We're going to have fellowship one with another. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin if we walk in the light. Yes, he is in the light. Praise the Lord. And you know the Lord. God, he works on our hearts so that, we love one another and we love God. We put him first. We keep his commandments. Those are so necessary. Praise the Lord. And they are expected of us. But Saul here in 1 Samuel 15, this was heavy. Samuel had to come to him. And I know Samuel didn't want to have to tell him this message. He had been crying all night. It was a very heavy, hard thing to do. But he had to do it. I'll tell you what, yes, sometimes the message isn't any too easy. But thank God if we could just have opportunity now to get right with God. Oh, yes, if we could just do it now, Oh, yes, now. This accepted time, the day of salvation, right now, if we're made to see our sin now, what a blessing. Because praise the Lord, we don't want to stand before Almighty God with sin in our lives. But Samuel had declared, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Like I said, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, if your heart isn't right, all those sacrifices aren't going to mean anything anyway. And so he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh, the wisdom in obedience, the wisdom in hearkening. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Finally, Saul said unto Samuel in verse 24, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Well, I'll tell you what, we can't worry about what other people think. It may be our son or daughter. It may be our mother or dad even, but we can't fear them, It may be somebody else that we dearly love, even a congregation that might be going astray. But if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. And we're not going to fear the people. We're not going to worry about what people think and how they react. You know, if they reject, they reject. And not that we want to see people reject. Oh my, not that we want to see our sons and daughters reject, God forbid. Oh, we all want to see our loved ones saved. But still, our fear, our respect for the Lord has to be first. And we can't fear what others may say or do or think. Saul had a problem. He said, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. It wasn't good. He had authority. He should have told them to stop. He should have told them exactly what to do. And, you know, one way or the other, he was responsible for the people. And yet he's hoping for hope. He says in verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Oh, I tell you what, it's an awful thing to be rejected by God. We never want to be in that place where, you know, we've gone too far. We've walked off the track too far that we can't get back on. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Oh, it ripped in twain. And it was indicative of the fact that the kingdom had been taken from Saul. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. Oh, he's talking about God as being the strength of Israel. God does not lie. God does not need to repent. Oh, I tell you what, for he is not a man that he should repent. God does not change. Praise the Lord. He's absolute in his judgment and in his ways, in his authority. And then in verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Okay, we'll try this here. But I tell you what, God had already, he had rent the kingdom from Saul. And now it was just a show here that he might look, I guess, all right in front of the people. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeon of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And there the word repent means regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Oh, I tell you what, the importance to obey, to give heed to the word of God. Oh, yes, to do the will of God while we yet can. Oh, again, there's just so many people that just kind of are playing around and not really giving the heart to the Lord. They haven't really given themselves as a living sacrifice unto God. And I don't know how many people just bumble around and you know, with one foot in the world and thinking the other foot is in the kingdom of God. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's just the way it is. You know, you just can't, you know, read the horoscope for fun and think it's going to be okay. Oh no, there's a lot of things that we abstain from because we fear the Lord. And we know that He is the righteous judge, and that one day He is going to come and judge this world in righteousness. And oh, the great need that we would be right in the sight of God. Because regardless of what men may do or what they may say, the foundation of God stands sure. It doesn't change. It says, having this seal there in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, that the Lord knoweth those that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows who his people are. And He's expecting that we would not be indulging in the sins of this world. Oh yes, that we would not be as those that are without, engaged in idolatry, in adultery, fornication, and all kinds of uncleanness, all kinds of works of unrighteousness, drunkenness, and all manner of things that this world engages in and tries to get by in doing so. And oh yes, we know that there are so many people that draw nigh unto God with their mouth and they honor Him with their lips, but Jesus talked about them as their heart is far from God. You know, the pretense that so many people try to portray. But praise the Lord, there is one that sees through all of this. Oh, and there is one that is calling us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do those things that are right at my side. Fear God and keep His commandments, the whole duty of God and man. And here, let's go to one more place. Let's go to the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. And here's another story, another parable that Jesus told. Praise the Lord. Jesus said here in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I'll tell you what, it all comes out, doesn't it? You know what's inside? It comes out in many ways, really. But you know, people may try to hide it. You know, they might have the smooth talk that, you know, they use in front of other people, or especially if they're trying to, you know, influence somebody that has, you know, that maybe they want to impress. But, you know, it all comes out. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. It can't be hidden. It's going to, you know, come out. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you might not know certain things, but boy, just listen long enough and you'll get it. Jesus also said in verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If If he is our Lord and Master, if he is our God, then he's expecting us to keep his commandments. And then he told this story. He said in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." And just notice these things here in verse 47. Jesus is talking to those that come to him, and then they hear his sayings, but they don't stop there and do it them. It's not enough just to come. It's not enough just to hear. There has to be action. You know, faith without works is dead, being alone. You know, it's not going to stand. But if you're a wise builder, if you're a man that bringeth forth the good things out of your heart, or of course, woman, child, then you're going to not only come to Jesus, you're not only going to hear his sayings, but you're going to do them. Oh, they're going to be dear to you. This word of God is going to be a treasure to you. You're going to esteem it with all your heart and value it, because these are the words of life. So he said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Oh, we know where the rock is. Oh, our faith must be built on the rock, Christ Jesus, on the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation. And I'll tell you what, oh, we dare not build on anything else but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Oh, there is no other foundation that can be laid other than that which is laid, and that's Christ Jesus. So, yes, we come to Jesus. So, we hear his sayings, and if we're, oh, yes, that good servant, we're going to do his sayings. Praise the Lord. And I love the analogy here. That's like a man which built a house and dig deep, down, 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 until that foundation was reached, that rock was reached, down to the rock. Oh, I don't know. It might be a lot of digging sometimes. Oh, yes, in this world where there's so much confusion, oh, where there's so many false prophets, oh, and there's so many Bibles even, and so many religions, and all of this and that, it might have to be a lot of digging to find the rock, Christ Jesus, the truth of God's word. But praise the Lord, it's here. God has shown it to us. It's in his word. Oh, yes, and praise the Lord, if we're like that man that builds his house upon a rock, we're going to dig deep until we're secure, till we found it, oh yes, until there's no mistake, so we can lay that foundation upon the rock. And praise the Lord, oh, the floods of this life arise, don't they? Oh yes, the trials, the temptations, all the things that come upon us, oh yes, all the allurements of the world, all those things that come and try to shake us. But praise the Lord, if our faith is deep in Jesus Christ, those allurements, those temptations are not going to shake us. We're going to be able to stand. Oh, praise the Lord, we're going to be able to stand because we have been founded upon a rock. The rock, Christ Jesus, praise the Lord, where it's firm, it's secure. Oh, yes, it's unchangeable. Praise the Lord. But on the contrary, those that hear and do not. They are like a man that went forth to build a house without a foundation. Nothing under it at all. No foundation. No cheap cornerstone. And the sad thing is, oh yes, that house without a foundation, that life without its bounding in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not going to stand, is it? Oh yes, when the stream beats vehemently, oh the great gusts, the great winds, the trials of this world, all the confusion that arises, oh, if that foundation isn't there, that house isn't built on Christ Jesus, it's not going to stand. And as the story tells us, that house that was not built upon the rock, that house that had no foundation, it fell when the streams, the storms of life raged, were vehemently falling, beating, hitting. It fell. And it tells us the ruin of the house was great. Oh, it's so important to do the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus came to do the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. I guess I always have one more verse or two. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews the 10th chapter. Jesus said, or these are the words actually that were prophesied pertaining to Jesus. It says in Hebrews 10, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, this is verse 5, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Oh, Jesus came to do the will of God. Oh, yes, he's going to bring forth that new covenant. Because, oh, yes, there was enough. The old covenant did not take away sin. Not, but for a moment, you know, the sins that were past, and then they would accumulate again and again and again. Oh, it was impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, it tells us here. But Jesus came. Oh, he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Oh, yes, this was a prophetic utterance from the 40th chapter of Psalms. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, for the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Praise the Lord. Yes, the first covenant wasn't sufficient to take away sins. So Christ Jesus came to do the will of God. Oh, yes, to offer himself as that sacrifice for sin, a complete sacrifice for sin. It would completely take away sin. And there would be none else that could ever do likewise. And he took away the first that he might establish the second covenant. Praise the Lord. So that we, as his children, those that he would call, those that he would choose, could be sanctified, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Oh, praise the Lord. He made a way that we could come to him. Oh, yes, that complete sacrifice for sin. that if we will fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, if we will obey him, we obey the commandments that are written in the Word of God, praise the Lord, we can be forgiven our sins. Oh, yes, we can be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, that perfect atonement, that perfect Lamb of God that was slain for our sins, that we might come to him and be forgiven and have eternal life. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, for that complete and wonderful sacrifice that you made, God, that we might receive atonement for sin. I pray, God, that you talk to us, Lord, God, for, God, we know, Lord, that you don't look, you do not regard sin. But I pray, Lord, that, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word and to come to you, Lord, and to give heed to the gospel and to do your will, Lord, so that we might be forgiven and sanctified. Oh, yes, filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, Lord, that would be your desire, Lord, that your people would be filled with your Spirit and living in victory and for you, Lord. Pray that you talk to us. Help us, Lord, to get to that place in you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank God. To obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. The Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock, number 18. Thank you. dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.